Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Deuteronomy with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting in verse 22, where we see that if you're enduring persecution today, or maybe the hardships of life, or even if everything's going great at the moment, whatever state you find yourself in, run the race the Lord has called you to, and run it to win. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22.
Good evening, everyone. If you didn't bring a Bible with you tonight, would you raise your hand so our brothers can bring one to you at your seat? If you have one handy, would you please open and join me in Deuteronomy chapter 5 as we finish this chapter and make our way into chapter 6 tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Again, we'll pick up here in just a few moments, as soon as I see everyone has a Bible, in verse 22, and we'll just take this remainder of the chapter, allow the Lord to minister to our hearts, and God willing, we'll dabble into chapter 6. So again, if you need a Bible, just raise your hand. Our brothers will bring one to you at your seat, and we will continue to worship the Lord through the study of His Word by seeking to not only read it and learn it, but live it and do it. Amen? Father, we thank You so much for this time. We thank You, Lord, for the time to worship You through song. We thank You for the instruments and the voices, God, that You have provided for us, Lord, as a fellowship here. We thank You for this Wednesday night pick us up, Lord, this refuel service that we are so grateful for, that we can come and gather in Your house and experience Your presence just like we do on a Sunday morning. We ask You now, Jesus, that You would move mightily in this place, that You would hold our thoughts captive, Lord, that You would speak into our lives. Lord, the difficulty about a Wednesday night Bible study is that it's a nighttime. It's the end of a day. And Lord, we need You to help us to forget about the cares of this day. What happened at work, what happened at home, what happened on our way here, phone calls we've received, phone calls we've made, emails, text messages, God, all of it, we just surrender to You right now. And we're asking You that You would give us the attention span for an hour just to learn of You, Lord, so that we can live pleasing to You when we leave these doors. So please, Jesus, take my mouth and use it as an instrument in Your hand. Cause me to speak only what it is that You want Your people to hear. And break down, Lord, any walls, any barriers, anything that would keep us from hearing that precious voice of Yours. And it's in Jesus' name that all of God's people said, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 5, we will begin in verse 22 here, as it reads this: "These words the Lord spoke unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and the thick darkness, with a great voice. And He added no more, and He wrote them, talking of the Lord, into tables of stone, and He delivered them unto me." Deuteronomy, really what it is it's a book that is made up of about 5 sermons or so given by Moses to the next generation of Israelites who are going to head in very shortly to the promised land. Moses had just got done reviewing with this new generation the 10 commandments. We as a church have taken those 10 commandments week by week over the last 9 weeks and allowed the Lord to minister them to our hearts individually. Here we see that God wrote them with His finger in 2 tables of stone. Not on an etch-a-sketch that can be easily erased in, not on a notepad with a pencil, because there might be a bloop or a mistake, but in a stone, graven in stone, because there will never be any changing in the heart of God concerning what is right and concerning what is wrong. It doesn't matter if you are under the Old Testament covenant or the New. It doesn't matter if it's 2014 and New York State says otherwise of what God's Word declares. It doesn't matter what the United States of America as a whole proclaims. God's Word is what we hold up. His word isn't changing. He has no shadow of turning in him. He's not like us. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't flip-flop easily. We do that, don't we? So many times, I went to Chipotle tonight. I had a dedication service to do before I came here. And my brother was with me. We went out to Pittsburgh to do a dedication service for a brother and sister in Christ that go here. And they just got this new business. They want us to come and pray before their grand opening. And so naturally, when you're in Pittsburgh, you go to Chipotle. It only makes sense. It's the heart of God. And so we went there. And I was determined, I'm going to get the salad because the dressing is so good. And then I saw the guy in front of me get a burrito, and I just flip-flopped. My brother said, what happened? I thought you were getting the salad. I said, I saw the burrito. I had to get the burrito. Just very easily we flip-flop. We're influenced, not God. His word was put in stone because there's no changing in what his heart is, you see. And it's important for us to understand that it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter if you're called a prude. It doesn't matter if you're sort of ostracized as somebody who's not cool, somebody who doesn't fit in with everybody else. You weren't made to fit in. You were made to stand out. Make sure you remember that as you move through this with me. So it came to pass, verse 23, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness. This is Moses just rehearsing the history of the nation with this new generation. It says in the middle of verse 23, for the mountain did burn with fire, and you came near to me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God does talk with man, and he lives. Now therefore, verse 25, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore. Then we're going to die. For who is there, verse 26, of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? You, verse 27, go thou near, and you hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and you speak to us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it, and we will do it. So the Lord, verse 28, heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. This is again Moses rehearsing things. And the Lord said to me, middle of verse 28, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Now let's pause for a minute. It's one thing to say things well, right? It's one thing to spew out of your mouth something well. It's quite another to have verse 29 be true of you too. The Lord says, there's no other words to describe how he feels here. He says, oh, that there were such a heart in them. They say this and it sounds wonderful. But oh, that there was such a heart, a sincere motive behind the words that are coming out of their mouths. You parents know about this. Your child tells you, mommy, daddy, I'm so sorry. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to sin against you. I don't want to cross you. I don't want to get in trouble in this way. And it's like, that's wonderful. That you're going to be nice to your brother now. That you're going to be nice to your sister. I love what your words are. But oh, that there would be a heart behind your words. You see, and that's the mindset of Jesus. Daniel and I were talking about that driving back to church an hour and a half ago. We were talking about how only God has this ability, this Superman-like ability with this X-ray vision where he can zone in and hone in on the heart of a being. He only knows the heart, right? And it's amazing. It's a great heart check. I mean, even tonight as we come to worship him, even as we open his word tonight, and perhaps I'll call for an amen, and you'll say amen, and maybe you'll sing the songs when we're done, but is there any substance behind your words? Is there a sincere heart within you that says, yes, God, I want to live a soul surrendered. Yes, God, I want to be used by you. Yes, God, I don't want to be a learner, but I want to be a liver also. I mean, is there a sincere motivation within you, in the proper sense, a right ambition within you to follow through the words that come out of your mouth? What a wonderful heart check for us. The Lord says, it sounds great what you're saying. I'm really pleased. I'm really blessed. But then he says, oh, that there were a heart, it says here, in them, that they would fear me, verse 29, and keep all of my commandments always. Here's the reason. This word, that, is a reason word, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. That you would keep my commands, God says, so that I can bless you, so that it would be well with you, so that I can hook you up. Listen, church, you win or lose by how you choose. You win or lose by how you choose. God says, man, I just would love for you to have a heart that is sincere behind your words. If you choose to operate in such a way, I will bless you. I want to bless you. But is there a sincere heart within you that is backing the words that come out of you? That's what this is saying to us here. Oh, that there was such a heart. So the Lord tells him in verse 30, go and say to them, get you into your tents again. But as for thee, Moses, stand thou here, verse 31, by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them. Here's the reason, that they might do them in the land which I am going to give them to possess. They're about to enter into a land that is devilish. They're about to enter into a land that is polytheistic in their worship. They're about to enter into a land that is crude and just disgusting in their behavior, much like Egypt that they came out of. And God says, I want to prepare you for when you go in to live in a way that glorifies me. That's why we come to church. That's why we're here tonight, to be washed by the water of the word, to have the word go in so the dirt goes out. Amen. We came here tonight to say, Jesus, I'm filthy. I've treaded through this world for the last few days at my workplace, at my school, on my sports team, in my neighborhood. And Lord, I've become defiled. Now wash me and cleanse me so that I can go back out there and infect that world for your kingdom's cause. That's why we're here tonight. Perhaps your battery is sort of drained. You're 50%. If you're like the iPhone, you're down to 3% in no time. And God says, I want to charge you tonight. I want to refuel you tonight. I want to cause you to be overflowing with my presence in your life so that you go and overflow on that fallen, sick, depraved world. This is what it's all about. This is what God is saying to them. You're going to go into a land to possess that is demonic. You're going to go into a land where they worship gods that offer babies and a burning fire. You're going to go into a land where sexuality and immorality is taking place and promiscuity all around you. You've got to be geared up. And he's telling them that here in this text. You shall observe, verse 32, to do therefore as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And hey, individual tonight, neither should you. God's word is enough. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Though none go with me, yes, I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Right? Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look behind you. Keep your eyes on the prize, Jesus Christ, and run the race to win. If you're enduring hardships, Paul says, press on as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Keep trucking. You shall walk, verse 33, in all of the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you. Watch this. Watch the intention of God's heart in saying that. Three reasons here in verse 33. That, again, a reason word. That you might live, number one. Number two, that it might be well with you. And number three, that you might prolong your days and the land which you are going to possess. Chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now, as we move through chapter 6, this here, in the big scheme of things, is the beginning of the second sermon out of about 5 that Moses will give recorded for us here in the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 6, rich. Chapter 6, full of good stuff. So make sure that you take time to go back through and read it again on your own later on and ask the Holy Spirit to minister to your hearts. It's such a rich, rich portion of the Old Testament. Now, verse 1, chapter 6, these are the commandments, the statutes. What are statutes? It's concerning your religious worship. These are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments. What are the judgments? It's concerning civil law. Just to help you distinguish some of these words. Which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you might do them. There it is again. Our learning is for living, right? Our doctrine is for duty. Our learning is for living. We've come here tonight to say, God, teach me, but not just so that I become a brain in the faith, but that so, Lord, I can know how to please you and live in a way that blesses you and puts a smile upon his face. A smile upon his face, something that's sort of contrary to the world tells you. You do what makes you happy. You do whatever makes you smile. No, God says, you do what makes me smile. and in doing what makes me smile, you'll smile. We'll all be a great big happy family if we live to make our King Jesus smile in heaven. Amen? Hang with me, guys. We'll break this down slower in just a moment. Let's go where the Lord wants us to be in this text here. Here's what God says in verse 2. This is what I want you to obey all that I say to you, that you might fear the Lord your God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. You and your son and your son's sons all the days of your life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Now, I don't know how you are at reading comprehension. I don't know how much you're catching here as we move through this. I sort of have an upper hand on you in the sense of I've been reading over this text, and maybe you haven't. But if you're catching this as we're moving through this tonight, you're noticing some repetition. Anyone noticing repetition? God keeps saying, I want you to keep all of my commandments, all of my statutes, all of my precepts, all of my judgments, all of your life. Do you notice that here? There's this all, this totality of what God wants for you to keep concerning his will for your life. Listen, that's important because we like to pick and choose. We like to say, okay, I'm faring well, I'm doing well in this area of my Christianity, in this area of my spirituality, and an area over here, yes, I might be suffering in, but the good outweighs the bad, so God's pleased. Listen, God wants to put his finger tonight on areas in our lives where perhaps we're compromising, where perhaps we're sort of softening, where perhaps we're not holding to strong convictions like we are in other places. What do I mean? Well, perhaps you're not watching pornography, perhaps you're not doing things to please yourself any longer or at all, but maybe you're still compromising and putting other types of filth within your ears. And maybe you're thinking, well, that's not as bad as what I used to do. But God wants to take you deeper, and he wants you to obey all of his word all of your days so that he can fully bless you. And it's a great time for us just, you know, Lord, okay, is there anything in my life where I'm sort of picking and choosing? And areas as a result that I'm neglecting to deal with before you because other areas are being handled. God wants all of you. God doesn't just want part of you. God doesn't want just some of you. God doesn't want just a little bit of obedience in just some of the areas of your life. Are you hearing me? God doesn't want you just to say, Jesus, I believe in you. That's wonderful, and it's a great place to start. But then we're to go from glory to glory. Then he's going to keep putting his finger on different places in our lives that need to be worked on, that your language would be cleaned up, that what you allow to dwell in your mind, your thought life would be cleaned up, that what you allow to go into your ears, what you allow yourself to see, what you allow yourself to handle, you're never to stop growing. You're never to stop growing. You're never to stop being stretched in Jesus. You're always to be sort of stretched more and more, and as you overcome one area by the help of the Holy Spirit, then you're supposed to say, God, what's next? And if you're anything like me, you don't get a chance to say, God, what's next? Because he's already pointing it out to you if you're faithful to his word. He wants all of you. And he wants you to be fully obedient to him, not just for a season of your life. Notice here, he keeps saying all of your days. Christianity, it's a walk with Jesus, right? It's day by day by day. He doesn't just want you to walk with him while you're in your 20s or while you're in your 30s or while you're raising your small children, and then you can kick it into neutral and just retire in the faith and just sort of come to church on Sundays and stop serving and not be involved anymore. No, Jesus wants you to go stronger and harder the more that you grow and go in his grace, you see. Never stop pressing into Jesus. There's no valid excuse to back off for any length of time. Just keep pressing in to your Savior. That's what he wants. He wants all of you, all the time, all the days of your life. Now it says in verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it might be well with you, and that you might increase mightily, as the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, has promised thee in the land that flows with both milk and honey. Now we see in verse 4 that it begins with the word hear. Many of you Bible students know what this is. Deuteronomy 6:4, it's known by the Jews as the Shema, right? This ear, this prayer, this portion of Deuteronomy is recited by religious Jews all over the world every morning and every evening. This prayer, this verse that's before us, Deuteronomy 6:4, is memorized by Jewish boys the moment they're able to begin to articulate sentences. they're able to rehearse this verse. They're able to say it. And it's called Shema because the word hear is what Shema means, to hear. Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now let's read through to verse 5 and then we'll slice and dice this verse. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God or one Lord, our God here. I want to sort of just point this out to you for those of you guys who like just technical things. If you don't and you're not really interested in things that aren't application, I'll give you permission to daydream for just a few moments. For the rest of you guys, this is just a nice tidbit of information. I'll keep it as base as possible. I'll spare you of any unnecessary details as I explain the importance doctrinally of this verse. The words are God here. In Deuteronomy 6:4, the word in the Hebrew is Elohim. It's the plural form for God. It's more than one God. Literally, if you read it in Hebrew, it would say the Lord are gods. It's a plural form for God. And then it says, though, the Lord our gods in plurality is one God. Now, the word one is ikad, and it literally means numerical oneness. So there's this plurality of gods, but yet they're one in number. They're one God. It's one in unity, one in uniqueness. Important for you to catch because you'll meet people all the time from different religions, different beliefs that will tell you that Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God or God at all, and that the Bible doesn't speak of him as such. This is a wonderful Old Testament proof text for the Trinity. The Lord our God, plural, right? Elohim, our gods, is one God, numerically, in oneness. Three persons, one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Now, if you argue, for instance, with Muslims, because they claim portions of the Old Testament as their holy book too, they'll tell you that God, Jesus, never claimed to be God, that this is not speaking of the Trinity. And if you take them, listen, hang with me for a minute, this is important. If you take them to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and you read to them, I mean, I know the verse, but let me just read it to you so I don't butcher anything here, okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, if you take them to this verse to say, look, here's this word Elohim again.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.